did not submit to God in the Garden of Eden. They, of course, were removed from the garden. They received the sentence of death, not just physically, but spiritually. Of course, Eve then had pain in childbirth, and Adam had the very soil that he was working first. Had quite an effect, but notice that rebellion took place in paradise on earth. Think about this also. Lucifer, chosen angel of God's, a prime one, was in heaven when he became proud of heart. And his rebellion led to him being cast out of God's presence in heaven. Think about this. And we know, of course, he eventually will have the lake of fire, but he is at enmity with God since that time. The sentence of judgment was certainly passed upon him. But if Adam and Eve in paradise on earth rebelled against God, and if Satan, in before the very presence of God, rebelled against God, and of course lost his favor privilege, let me ask you this. Do you think it's possible for those of us who are in this room to rebel against God? Yeah, it's quite possible. It's a sad and tragic thing, but it is. Well, we know it's important for us to submit to God. The passage that Bob read earlier talked about even Christ himself submitted himself to the Father for the Father's purpose, both in his earthly life and in time future. We're told that very clearly in Scripture. So submission to God is of primary importance. But do you realize that submitting to one another is also important? What does the Bible say about it? We're going to take a look at that this morning. Father, we thank you for the opportunity this morning to come to see what your word says to us about submitting to one another. This is such an important one another ministry that we have. Help us understand that this is something that's important for our spiritual growth and development, something that's important for the body of Christ and in the different roles and relationships that we have in life. So, Father, we just commit our time to you this morning and pray you'll teach us from your word so that not only would we understand what submission is, but that we would practice it in the various relationships in our life. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to invite you to turn with me to the text we're going to be really focusing on this morning, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 21. Okay, Ephesians 5, 15 to 21, you'll see it on page 153 of your New Testaments, if you're using the Bibles there that the church has to offer here. So Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 21. Let's read this together before we see what submitting to one another is all about. It says this, "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ." I want to just sort of set the stage for what submitting to one another is about. We need to kind of understand kind of the big picture context of this, though, before we really delve into that. Just a few moments here to set the context. Paul opens up by saying this. He says, be careful in verse 15. Be careful how you walk. Be careful how you walk. Now, if you were a soldier in a minefield, you would take that statement very seriously, wouldn't you? Of course you would. Because there are inherent dangers there that you want to avoid. But listen, as Christians, we walk in a world that is full of minefields. And like that soldier, we need to be careful. Paul is saying, be careful. And he's going to caution them. And he's going to actually give, as he's telling them to be careful, he's going to give them two B charges, if you will. We're going to briefly take a look at those. First one is to be wise. To be wise. We see this in verses 15 through 17. And let's contrast wise just for the fool. In Psalm 14:1, we're told that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So a fool is one who denies the very existence of God. I've heard one person also say that there is such thing as a practical atheist, if you will. A practical atheist may say that they believe in God, but you look at their life and there's no indication of that. There's no accountability before God. There's no walking in the reverence of him. So be wise, we're told, as opposed to the fool. And Paul makes two points here. He says, be wise. First of all, making the most of your time. Making the most of your time. I want to ask you this morning. In your life, are you making the most of your time? I mean, let's be honest with ourselves. We all have time that is discretionary. Sometimes we use it for those things that are wise. And sometimes, if you're like me, after a period of time, you say, why did I spend the last 15 minutes doing this? Right? We have times where we do that. We want to be wise with our time. May God help us increasingly be good stewards of our time. So first of all, make the most of our time. Secondly, we need to understand what the will of the Lord is in our life. That's part of being wise too, is understanding what His will is for our life. Well, how do we do that? How do we understand what God's will for us is? Well, you're here this morning. You want to get into God's Word and see what it says to us. That's good. We're understanding what the will of the Lord is. But you do that as you have your quiet time with the Lord. You're in His Word. You do that maybe as you're listening to a Christian radio program. You're trying to see what God is speaking to you. Maybe you're reading a good Christian book. Those are all ways that we can understand what God's will is. And it's good to make that as part of our time too, is understanding what His will is for our life. So be wise is the first charge. But the second thing that Paul tells us is to be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. And he contrasts that with being drunk with wine. Now I know many, if not most of us, have been around people who've had a little too much to drink or have been perhaps on some type of a drug, and we've seen how it affects their behavior. It affects them. It influences their behavior greatly. Well, Paul is saying here, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Let His influence be evident in our life. And that's what we're to be controlled with as believers, is the Holy Spirit of God. He mentions four things, three things we're going to go through briefly, and we're going to camp on the fourth one. The first one is to speak to one another in edifying ways. If you look at verse 18, Paul says this, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We're not going to get into the particular differences of those right now, but just want to say this. When we speak to one another, we're to speak to one another in edifying ways, reminding people of how great our God is and reminding people of His Word. So here's a question for you. How have you this past week encouraged another brother or sister in Christ? Have you? That's part of being filled with the Spirit, is that we edify each other in the things that we say. We lift each other up by putting with each other's minds the thoughts of God and how great He is. The second thing Paul talks about is making melody with your heart to the Lord. So as we're saying these things to our brothers and sisters in Christ, we're also elevating our heart to God. Now, this morning we've had the privilege of singing together. And, you know, sometimes we can just kind of go through the motions with it, just kind of mouthing the words. But you've had those times where you've sung those words and they just resonated because they were your heart cry to God. And that should be the cry of our heart too, as we're singing these songs, as we're speaking with others. It also ought to be a praise to God as well. And that's another evidence of us being filled with the Spirit. Not only are we edifying our brothers and sisters in Christ, but we're also just worshiping God from the heart. We're praising Him from the heart. It's another evidence. Yet a third evidence in of us being filled with the Spirit of God is that we're giving thanks in all things, we're told. Giving thanks in verse 20, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, God, even the Father. You know, an evidence of us being filled with the Spirit of God is we're thankful people. And we have that discipline. We allow ourselves to see what He is doing in our lives, even if we're going through tough circumstances. We're thanking Him for those different things He's allowing to come into our life, or ways He's being faithful with us. So may those things be true of our life, speaking to one another in edifying ways, praising God from the heart, and then being thankful. But the one we want to really camp on today, because that's really the theme of this chapter in this book, and we've been going through, is the idea of submitting to one another. Submitting to one another, the subject at hand. So what does this mean? I just want to read verse 21. It says, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. And let's just analyze that for just a moment. The idea of being subject to one another, it comes from a Greek word, which means, it's a military term, which means to come under the command of a leader or come under rank of someone. We're going to answer to them is the idea. In kind of a non-military way, it has the idea of the voluntary attitude of giving in, cooperating, assuming responsibility, and carrying a burden. So we're being charged here to submit to one another, to bring ourselves under rank, if you will, with one another. But it's important also when we talk about that to not forget the end of the verse, because that really talks about our motivation for why we do this, and that is this, in the fear of Christ. In the fear of Christ. Now, this is addressed to believers, It's not saying to them that they should be fearing God because they're going to lose their salvation. That's not the idea there. The idea there is because they have such love for Him, they want to do what's pleasing to Him. And part of pleasing Him, of course, is being filled with the Spirit. And of course, part of that is being submitted to one another. Bring ourselves under rank with each other, if you will. And that pleases the Lord. That's our motivation. We do what we do not to just feel good about it, not to look good before other people, but to please the Lord, to honor Him. That's our motivation for submitting to one another. So that's kind of what that verse is about. But I want to just mention briefly three areas of submission that the Bible talks very clearly about. Now, I'm not going to even turn to these passages, but in James 4:7, James is writing to those who he's writing to, and he says, submit to God. We talked about this earlier in the message, but the first and most important submission that needs to be true in our life is that of submitting to God. That needs to be true in our life before we can really talk about any other types of submission to one another. The second type of submission, though, is what I like to call ordered relationships. Ordered relationships. There are relationships in the Bible where God very clearly directs that in a certain situation, this is the leader in this ordered relationships. And so that's one of the things that we want to we'll talk about just briefly. And then there's a mutual submission that's talked about in this very verse we're considering. And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. It's a mutual submission. No matter what it's not like we have an ordered relationship per se, except we're brothers and sisters in Christ, and we're to submit to one another. In the New Testament, 31 times this idea of submitting, this word submission, is used. Now, some of the ordered relationships that the Scripture talks about would be these. Throughout Scripture, there are 5 times, in fact, where wives are called upon to submit to their husbands. Doesn't mean that the wives are less intelligent. Doesn't mean that they're less influential. Doesn't mean that they're any less spiritual than their husbands. It's just that's an ordered relationship that he's called upon in the Bible. Now, I might say to this man, okay, that just thinking of this mutual submission, the husbands, here's the deal. How about this? Here's a practical application going the other way. You may say, well, how do I submit to my wife? Well, let me give you one idea. Okay, I'm suggesting there are many others out there. But husband, what about taking a Saturday or a day when you have free and saying, okay, what would you like to do today? What do you want done? And let's do it. Let's get those things accomplished today. Let's get on it. And that would be one way that we could. And there are, again, many other ways we could do it. Here's another one, ordered relationship. We're told in the Scripture that servants are to submit to their masters in that day. There are many slaves in the early church. Today, we would really say that we're talking about the employee-employer relationship. Listen, if you're an employee before God, you're to submit yourself to your employer. That's an ordered relationship. It's very clear in Scripture. It's stated that way. But employers, how could it go the other way? How could you as an employer submit to your employee? Well, how about this? You're talking about a certain issue at work, and lo and behold, your employee comes up with an idea. In fact, it's a really good idea. In fact, when you think about that employee's idea, you think it's even better than mine. One way you could submit to them is allowing that idea to be placed into the business. Yeah, you're submitting to them, but there's a reason for that. They have a good reason. And so it can and should go both ways, really. There's another way, and that is the Scripture makes it very clear that as citizens, we are to submit to our governing authorities. Very clear. Sometimes it may seem very difficult to us, and maybe we get frustrated with our governing authorities. But we are to submit to them, of course, as long as it's not unethical, as long as it's not violating Scripture, right? We have that responsibility, that moral responsibility. There's another one in Scripture that members of a flock are called to submit to the authorities of the church, those who are providing oversight. That's in Scripture. It's clearly stated. However, thinking of going back the other way, if you're involved in any type of leadership in the church, I would suggest to you that it ought to continually be our desire to submit ourselves to the needs of our congregation, to seeing what is in their best interest and seeking to serve them in that way. That's why we submit. We love them. We do what's best for them. We're looking out for their best interest. It's not an ego thing. It's not a power thing. It's not a status thing. But it really is a heart desire to serve them truly, to be a servant leader, even as Jesus Christ was. There's another one, and that is children. The Scripture very clearly states that children are to obey their parents. They're to obey their parents. And yet, as Gene Getz talks about in his book. I'm not going to ruin the reading for you this week, but he'll talk about an instance where he gave in to one of his son's requests for where they were going to go out to eat. And I'll let you read the rest of it. But the point is, there are times as parents we can allow our kids to dictate something in that relationship, not that's going to hurt them or to go against spiritual things, but we're actually showing submission to them as parents. So even in ordered relationships, the scripture clearly lays out a certain ordered relationship, we can demonstrate submission within those. Now let's talk just a moment about mutual submission. In Ephesians 5:21, going back to that verse, it says, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. We've already made the point that our motivation in submitting to one another as brothers and sisters in Christ is to please the Lord. And we need to understand it pleases the Lord when we submit to one another in a mutual submission kind of way. It does please the Lord. It shows that that pleases Him. And we need to understand that. There's another passage, though, that we need to that talks about this as well. And that is Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. Don't turn there. I've got this passage and one other I'm just going to read for you. And just take note of this. Paul in Philippians 2, 3 says this, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Now, Paul talks about some things there that's important for us to hear. He says, do nothing from selfishness. You know, selfishness can be a problem in the idea of submitting to another person. We need to see that checked in our own life. Or empty conceit. Or arrogance can keep us from submitting to someone else. But he says, with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself. Do we really feel that way about others in the body of Christ? Do we really put others' interests ahead of our own? That's what we're called to do when we're mutually submitting to one another. And then another passage, 1 Peter 5:5, Peter writes this. He says, you younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders. That's another ordered relationship there that Scripture talks about. But he says, and all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Again, all people are called here to have humility toward one another. And Peter brings out this very fascinating thing. He says, for God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. You see, he understands our situations. He knows our attitude. And we're told that he's opposed to those who are proud. I think even proud believers, the Lord is working on that heart of ours. He's opposed to the proud, but he shows grace, we're told, to the humble. Realize the best way to be working against God is to be proud of heart. And the best way to be working with him is to be of humble heart. Which way are we going to go in that flow? Because that's the thing that we all have to wake up and deal with each day. So mutual submission is so important. Scripture instructs us about it. But here's some misconceptions. Okay, misconceptions about submitting to one another. Here's one of them. Some people may think, well, I'm in an ordered relationship. I'm a parent. My kid always has to do what I say. It's a one-way dealer. Kid, you know, I call the shots here. You've got to listen to God's put me in. God has put me into your life to tell you what to do. You've got to be careful about that, okay? Let me illustrate why. As a parent, I understand, especially as my children go older, they have more and more, they can speak into my life in very meaningful ways. For instance, as my daughter's gotten older, I have found that she's much more into fashion of today than I am. Probably doesn't surprise you a whole lot, but it's true. So there's Sunday mornings I may come and say, Rachel, what do you think? And I end up going back to the closet again. Okay? I am submitting to her opinion on that because I trust her on that. Okay? And I've learned that this is an area where I need to hear what she is saying to me. Okay? And maybe as parents, you've got other areas. By the way, I find that true of technology as well. My kids speaking in my life on that a lot too. I could find multiple areas. But you know what I'm talking about? I mean, we have to be careful in these ordered relationships that we become so dogmatic that we don't see how God, it's a beautiful thing that really others can speak into our life as well. And we're really wise to submit on those things they speak into our life. Here's another misconception. A husband may read what the Bible says about their wives submitting themselves to them. And a husband may say, well, I just have to make my wife submit. It's my spiritual purpose. Let me tell you what. Husband, if you have that attitude, you've got it wrong. Because the scripture actually says in that passage that wives are to submit themselves to their husbands, not that husbands are to make their wives submit themselves to them. We have to be really clear on that, because there's some men who've had that attitude, and it's really harmful in a marriage relationship. So that's a misconception we have to really be careful of as husbands. There's another misconception, that is, some of us, because of models of leadership that we've had in our lives, we have the idea, okay, if I'm the leader here, if God's ordained me as a leader in this particular situation, I can be harsh, I can be cruel, I can do all the things, I can be rough, I can be arrogant. I mean, those are the leaders in my life I've had. I'm just going to emulate that. And to that, I have to say, big time out. Because that's not right. The Lord Jesus would not and did not lead in that way. We have to make sure that if we are placed in a position of leadership in a certain ordered relationship, that we do it in a godly way. May we not just rely upon examples we've had in the past, if they've not been godly ones, but truly godly ones and truly according to His Word. So we need to be so careful about that. Wives, here's one for you. Listen, we know Scripture says the importance of submission in that relationship with your husband. Let's face it. It's not very politically correct today to say that, okay? Or to do it. In fact, you may hear that ridicule by friends or coworkers or whatever. Listen, we can't let what today's culture is, what the politically correct way of today, to dictate what our response chooses, what we choose our response to be. We need to make sure it's according to truth and according to God's Word. We just have to be careful to not let political correctness, again, drive the way we behave, but that we are godly, we are scriptural in the way that we respond. Okay, so those are some misconceptions, but what are some obstacles? What are some obstacles? Because there are obstacles to this whole area of submission. Let me just throw out there some to you. In a husband-wife relationship, here's a huge obstacle. If there's an abusive husband, there's a problem. And I don't suggest to you this morning that a wife should subject herself to an abusive husband in the sense that she should put herself in harm's way. There needs to be some serious counseling there. There may even be a time of separation or removal from that relationship so she's out of harm's way. Those are tough, tough situations. Tough, tough situations. Here's another one. An overbearing spiritual leader. If there's someone who's involved in church leadership, who's very overbearing, who's very harsh, who's very manipulative or controlling, that's not right. That's not right. And it's not something that you should expect to be bear up under in that way. And so we need to understand that. That's a problem. Here's another one. A manipulative boss. You've got a boss. He berates you publicly, maybe for things you're not even doing. Perhaps he withholds pay that you have coming your way. He does other things that put you in a bad way. And listen, thank God we live in a country where you can find another job, right? I'm not saying that you need to submit yourself to a situation where it's just really a bad deal. There's certainly a red flag there that you need to pay heed to. Well, again, we have to remember that the reason that we follow these submission charges in Scripture in these ordered relationships is out of obedience to the Lord, out of a motive to please Him. But those are problems that can get in the way. But let me talk about some problems that we can have. Okay, just personally, when it comes to this whole talk about submission. See if you can relate to any of these. What about the whole idea of selfishness? And I don't want to submit, because if I submit to them, it means I've got to put down what I'm doing. It means I've got to put their interest above mine, and I'm not there. I don't want to do that. That can be a problem in our heart, in this whole area of submitting to one another. Selfishness can be a concern. Here's another one that Guest states, and that is being insecure. Sometimes because of our insecurity in our own relationship with God, our insecurity and just our own makeup, or personality, it can cause real problems for us. And yet another hindrance is being confused. We don't understand what biblically is correct in a situation, so it's hard for us to submit to it because should I? Is this right? And so sometimes that confusion can be an obstacle for us as well. And that's where we need to seek God's Word, or maybe seek a counselor to find out, what is it? Am I looking at this right? A second opinion can be very valuable. Even a good Christian friend can help provide that for you. All right, well, let's talk about some phrases you might try using. When we talk about submitting to one another, here's some phrases you might try. Okay, here we go, kids. Here we go. Ready? Here's one that's coming your way. If your mom asks you to do something, try these words. Yes, Mom. And do it. That's how practical it gets. Or, yes, Dad. Awesome response. That's part of submitting. That pleases God. Okay, so there's some words. Here's some other words. If you're a young man who's speaking to an older godly man and he says something, speaks some truth into your life that you really value and you can see the wisdom of, you say, yes, sir. I appreciate that. And I grew up in the South, so I know it's a little stilted, okay? For some of you, may not have the sort of thing. But the idea is, I appreciate that. That's good wisdom. Affirm the counsel that they give you. It's good to do that. Okay? Here's another thing. You're an employee, and your boss asks you to do something. Okay, hear the words. Hear the words. Right away, I'm on it. Okay? I mean, if you're an employer and you had employees who just couldn't wait to do what you asked them to do, well, what a duty as an employer. That's a great blessing you give to people. But that's something you can offer. It's that type of submission we're talking about. Or how about this? A mutual submission thing where you're spending time with a friend and you're both busy. You both have a lot of things going. But this friend states something that he's been struggling with at home to try to get done, and you've got some certain expertise in that area, and you could help him out with it. And he states that to you, and yeah, you're busy, he is too, and you just say, you know what, it's done. Let's go take care of it. You submitted your plans, your time, to his interest for that time, and you're going to help him accomplish that. Those are words that we can use when we're talking about submitting to one another. Let's talk about three application principles, that we can apply even beginning today as we talk about submitting to one another. Here's the first one. In this whole area of submitting to one another, number one, recognize your sinful tendencies. Recognize your sinful tendencies. Look, we struggle. We deal with pride. We struggle with selfishness. We struggle with rebellion. As one commentator talked about, says sometimes when in the Word of God, we need to just get small. We need to get small. We need to realize, we need to be reduced to realizing that we are servants of God. We are servants of others. We need to be small. Recognize our sinful tendencies. Number two, make sure when you're submitting to one another, your motivation is to please the Lord. Make sure your motivation is to please the Lord. Listen, you may take some time out, submit your time and energy and effort, expertise, whatever, help someone else, and no one else may ever know about it. It's all right. It's all right, because your motivation for submitting to one another is to please the Lord. You know it's pleasing to Him? Make sure your motivation is to please Him. Thirdly, begin with specific action to submit. This is where it's very practical here, because this is the action part. Begin with the specific action to submit to another. Let me just give you a few examples, three of them in fact, and you can apply these in many areas of your life. We need to be specific about this. It's one thing to say, oh, okay, Lord, I know I'm supposed to submit to one another, that's nice. But your homework has just begun, because now in your own life, the question is, how can I submit in my own life in the different relationships that God has given me? And that's a question I can't answer for you. It's something between you and the Lord you have to work out. But here's some examples. Maybe as a husband, trying to be mutually submissive to your wife, it means this. Fix that door. That door your wife's been talking to you about that lets the cold air in or whatever. Fix the door. It's that specific. It's that simple, really. I didn't say easy. I just said simple. Okay, good. Here's another one. Okay, another one for kids out there. Okay, here we go. Here's another one. Clean that room. Right? I won't ask you to raise hands, but in a typical Sunday morning gathering with this many kids, if I said, how many of you have rooms that are unclean that your folks ask you to clean up? I bet there would be some hands going up. We're not going to do that to you. But clean that room, okay? Be specific about that in your relationships. Here's another one. You're a small group leader, and you're in the middle of a course where you're going through a certain curriculum in your small group. And in the course of your discussion, you hear one of your small group leaders say, or one of your small group members say, you know, I've really been worrying about a lot of things in my life recently. It just seems like it. I'm just worried about everything. I don't know how to deal with this. And you just remember hearing that. But you're in the middle of a study. You've got a course to go through. You've got stuff to cover. You want to be done by a certain time. But you realize that this small group member that's in your group is really struggling with this whole thing of worry. So maybe one way you could submit your plans to their best interest is say, you know what? We're going to take a week out. I'm going to dig into this whole thing about worry, come up with some good scripture that will help encourage them, maybe some articles I can find. And we're going to just take a week and go over that just to help this member of my group out because they're really struggling with this. It's a way you can submit yourself, submit your plans, submit your agenda to someone else who may have a real need that you can meet within the context of that group. Just something to think about. Well, in conclusion this morning, I have two questions to ask. Here's the first one. Are you submitted to the Lord in your life? Are you submitted to the Lord in your life? If you have your Bibles, I'd like to invite you to turn with me to the last passage we're going to look at this morning, the book of James, chapter 4. I'd like to look at the first 10 verses of that chapter. James 4, verses 1 through 10. It's page 178 of the Bibles that we have here in our chairs. James chapter 4, verses 1 to 10. And as we read through this, I want you to be honest with yourself before God. Am I submitted to God? Here we go. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the Spirit which he has made to dwell in us. But he gives a greater grace. Therefore, he says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. Listen, you may be here today, and you may not be a Christian. The thing I would say to you quite simply is this. The cleansing of sin that other portions of Scripture talks about for those who don't know Christ, it only comes through Jesus Christ. Recognizing your sinfulness before him and drawing before him humbly and asking him to forgive you of your sin, turning from that sin, you want to follow him the rest of your day. Listen. Come before him with a heart like that, calling upon him to save you because of his blood. He's died for you. He's taken your place. We must submit to him in that way. But it may be you're a believer here, and that you can see as we read through that passage that there may be some things in your life that aren't submitted to him. Maybe you don't have an ordered life, and maybe the reason the order isn't there is because, first of all, you haven't come into a rightful relationship with him. I'm going to say again what I said earlier in the message. If you do not have a life that's submitted to him, I contend there's no way you could submit to others because I think we can only do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you submitted to the Lord? Here's the last question. Are you submitting to others? We've talked about ordered relationships that God very clearly talks about in his word. Are we submitting in those that God has given us to submit in? And what about our mutual submission to one another? Is it our practice to submit ourselves to another for their good, for their benefit? Or is my life, quite honestly, just about myself? Or about a limited interest that I have? May God help us to be people who submit to Him, but also increasingly learn to submit to one another in a way that pleases Him. Father, we thank You this morning for the opportunity that You have given to us to worship together, to fellowship together, to be in Your Word together. Help us, Father, to be a people who are submissive to You. People who, first of all, submit to You and then submit to one another in ways that please You. We just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.